Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
You know what? I don't mind if I do. Thank you, mysterious voice. Yes, it is the 95 BFM Small Top 10. I'm joined this evening by Richard.
Hi.
Richard, tell the good people what the topic of your top 10 is tonight.
So my top 10 is top 10 episodes of Kath and Kim.
Kath and Kim.
Seminal classic.
It's a perennial favourite, and it's another in the trend of people bringing in TV shows I used to watch with my mum.
Yep.
It's like, I'm starting to feel a little bit like the small top 10 is like, this is your life, Amelia, which I know is self-centered, but
it's also kind of true.
I mean, I guess it's because I've chosen all the people.
Yeah, it probably is that, yep.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this. Why did you choose this topic? What speaks to you about Kath and Kim?
I don't know. I didn't think about why this show was so important to me. I don't know, I grew up watching it. I've rewatched it more times than I can count. Like, I watch it when I'm sick.
Yeah.
Because it's really good for that. It makes you feel nice.
It is. It's very nice. It's like, it's one of those warm bath kind of shows.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
And it's also just like, I don't know, it's a surprisingly well-made show. Like, they really nail what they were going for.
They really care so much. Even just like the costuming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of love. A lot of laughs and a lot of care.
Yeah.
Should we get into number 10?
Let's get into number 10.
I'll play this little sting.
Oh my god, great.
10.
So my number 10 episode of Kath and Kim is season 2, episode 5, My Boyfriend. So this is the episode where, huge spoiler alert if you haven't seen Kath and Kim, I'm so sorry.
Is it like a spoilery show? I feel like it doesn't. It's more about getting there than the destination.
Sharon has a boyfriend.
I mean, I guess
that's kind of a spoiler.
That is a bit of a spoiler. All right.
So yeah, Sharon has a boyfriend. She's covered in pash rash for like the entire episode.
I mentioned this to you off air, but I was talking to my therapist, did you say? And I mentioned that this was going to happen, and she spent 10 minutes talking about how great Sharon was and specifically mentioned this. So
yeah, no,
I'm very glad that this got on the list.
Sharon is a gem.
Sharon, yeah, she's an icon.
Yeah, like, I mean, the whole show is a series of iconic wigs, but I guess we can talk about Sharon's wig.
Yeah.
Or rather, just her hair, because, I mean, that is her hair. A beautiful ginger mushroom. Mm. So I believe I didn't actually get a chance to rewatch this episode. I'm fairly sure, unless I'm really, really incorrect, that her boyfriend is the guy from the Bush band who plays the fiddle with the real weird facial hair.
I've met people with boyfriends like that, and they're always.
So have I.
It sometimes can be the thing that reveals to you that they are a Sharon. Like, you may have just thought, oh, it's my friend from work. And then you meet their boyfriend who plays the fiddle in a Bush band and has, like, slightly unsettling facial hair. And you're like, oh, you're a Sharon.
Ah, you're one of those girls.
Oh, maybe we can play netball.
Yeah, maybe we can play netball, which we'll get to, by the way. We'll get to netball.
Excellent.
We'll also get to more of the boyfriend at some point.
All right.
But yeah, other things that happen this episode, Kath explores floral design. So she's making a fruit hat, and also
this. Is this Waiting for Telstra?
Yeah, this is Waiting for Telstra.
Oh, iconic!
Yeah, so it's when Telstra won't call her, or she can't get through to Telstra. Yeah. I can't quite remember what happens, but yeah.
All right, very good. Any other highlights for this episode?
Oh, no, that's all I had in my notes. All
right, excellent.
9.
Mm. So my number 9 is, I think I wrote the wrong season down, but it's episode 8 of our season.
Okay.
And the episode title is
keeping it mysterious.
Yeah, keeping it mysterious. I think it might be the second season.
Okay.
So the second, the third, or the fourth. It's definitely not the first.
All right.
Anyway, so it's called The Shower. It's the one where Kim is having her baby shower, or like organizing her baby shower, and it incorporates. I'll get rid of my alarm on my phone. it introduces one of the worst characters to ever hit television, and by worst I mean most unsettling.
Okay.
Sandy Freckle.
Now,
Sandy Frickle.
You know what? I said I watched this with my mom. I think my mom genuinely had a crush on Sandy Frickle.
Sandy Frickle is the most disgusting man I've ever seen in my entire life.
But he's alluring.
He's not alluring.
He is alluring.
He's absolutely not alluring. That's why this episode is episode 9, because I'm so deeply unsettled by Sandy Frickle.
I don't want to lie in the small top 10. I don't want to set that precedent. Yeah. I need to say I had a little bit of a feeling for Sandy Frickle. Okay, well, is that gonna be a problem?
That changes our friendship quite a lot.
Okay.
But yeah, choice quotes, obviously, beep, beep, Barina.
Good, strong.
Yeah, I guess if you don't know who Sandy Frickle is or if you need reminding, he's one of Cal's friends from back in the day who constantly steals his woman of choice.
Yeah, he's got like a strong erotic energy for a certain kind of woman.
A really unfortunate erotic energy.
Yeah. Also, excellent. Okay, number 8?
Number 8.
All right.
8.
So number 8 comes from season 3, episode 4, Kicking Up a Stink.
Oh.
So it's the episode where Sharon becomes a hardened military woman.
Good.
And the Wikipedia description described her as a fascist military type.
Oh,
which I'm not really sure if Sharon's a fascist, but like the energy kind of carries over.
I mean, can we really see into Sharon's heart though?
I know. I mean, she does love Australia.
She's very patriotic. She's very maybe nationalistic.
Yeah, nationalistic. Yeah. And she's white, so...
I don't know if I like this reading of Sharon.
I don't know if I like... I'm so sorry. Sharon's great, I swear.
Okay. She's a non-fascistic military enthusiast type.
Well, she runs a boot camp in the episode, I believe. I also didn't get time to rewatch this, but it also contains one of my favorite, I guess, tableaus that happen within Kavagim, which is the musical version, the stage musical version of The Hours. The film about Virginia Woolf?
Yes.
Yep, cool.
With the famous fake nose.
Fake nose, yeah. So, yeah, some fabulous acting happens.
Beautiful.
On that stage.
I mean, I love it when a TV show or a film does a play.
Oh, yeah.
Just if only because I appreciate the reference to Hamlet.
7.
So number 7 comes from season 2.
Awesome.
Episode 6, and it's called Another Announcement.
Season 2 is a good season.
Season 1 and 2 are the best seasons.
Yes.
Season 3 is, yeah, there are good bits, there are bad bits. Season 4 is mostly trash.
Yeah, because...
And I'm a person who loves Kath and Kim dearly until I will die.
Yeah, because I mean, like, because I owned season 1 and 2 on DVD, but I had to get 3 and 4 out from Blockbuster, and I was like, ooh.
Well, yeah, so weird stuff happened with 4 because they took a break between 3 and 4, and it changed networks, I believe. And that's also when they did Da Kath and Kim Code, available on Netflix.
I remember that as a television extravaganza, and we, I think my mum bought us chocolate for that.
A lot of mum memories. The other
today.
Bad thing about season 4 is that they re-recorded the theme song. Joker.
I mean, we'll get to the theme song.
We'll get to the theme song.
Okay.
Number 7, season 2, episode 6, Another Announcement.
Okay.
Sharon auditions for the Commonwealth Games.
Oh yes. Okay. I like most of these, you say the title and I'm like, interesting. Yeah. And then it hits you. Yeah.
So she, the beautiful cover of Advance Australia Fair. And also just a lot of Sharon wearing like dinky Commonwealth Games outfits.
It's very good.
It's incredibly good.
I think now again, I need to be honest because it is the small top
10. Go for it.
A lot of people find Sharon like, oh, very sweet. They're like, oh, bless. I found her relatable.
I also found her incredibly relatable. The constant barrage of injuries.
Yes.
Very like,
oh, I've got another rash.
Yeah. Like, and also, like, there are episodes, because I'm pretty sure in most episodes of season 1 and 2, she has a different injury every episode. Yeah. But sometimes she doesn't have an injury for the whole episode and then just has one right at the end just to sneak it in there. It's very good.
Oh, I love that Commonwealth Games episode. All right.
6.
So number 6, season 1, episode 3, Sport. So remember how we talked about netball before?
Yes.
This is the netball episode.
Good, very good.
So I've got Kim takes up netball in the hopes of physically assaulting Kylie and Danny Bolton. Named obviously...
Very strong synopsis already.
Obviously named after Kylie and Danny Minogue. Kylie and Danny Bolton basically, they drugged Brett and then slept with him. And apparently he was a dud root, but he's Kim's dud root and that's what matters.
Yes.
Kim quits netball halfway through. Kath has to take over. She saves the day. And also, important moment from Cal, because Cal and Kath are organizing their wedding. Cal comes up with a commemorative wedding sausage.
Oh, yes.
Which is chicken, bok choy, and pine nuts.
That actually sounds good.
Nah, it sounds gross.
I mean, I don't eat chicken,
hate
but
pine
I would
nuts.
Have...
So, ooh, yeah shit. Sorry, coming with strong opinions.
It's almost like a Chinese pesto.
Yeah, kind of.
And on that...
But with meat in it and a sausage.
And on that note, let's have some music.
Great.
Number five.
Your number five tonight is Repulsive Woman with When I Get Good. Go see a play on Saturday at the Wine Cellar. It's 95 BFM.
Still bad with keeping my eyes closed and I'm
You are tuned in to the 95 BFM Top 10. Oh, yeah. And it is still the small Top 10. I'm here with Richard. We're counting down the Top 10 Kath and Kim episodes. How could you narrow it down to just 10? They're all so good. Well, they're not all so good. The first two seasons are, like, perfect. And then, but we're doing it anyway. Well, Richard's doing it. And
I am doing it.
I'm kind of coming along for the ride.
You're offering bad opinions.
Bad opinions?
No, it's fine. I love you.
All right, we were just listening to, just everyone out there in Radio Land listening to Amelia get shredded by her friends. We were just listening to But I'm a Top by The Ballet. I like it.
That's a good band name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And before that, we had When I Get Good by Repulsive Woman. You can go and see Repulsive Woman at the Wine Cellar on Saturday. It'll be very good. I saw her last time she was here. She had a sick band.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and she's got a good joke about Ulysses that ties into one of the songs. It's all great content. Okay, I need you to do a rundown of 10 to 6 very quickly.
Oh, 10 to 6. Okay, so episode number 10, My Boyfriend. Sharon has a boyfriend.
Okay, cool. Number 9.
Sandy Freckle.
Number 8.
Musical version of The Hours.
Number 7.
Sharon auditions for the Commonwealth Games.
Number 6.
It's the netball episode.
Okay, and that takes us to
5.
So my number 5 is season 2, episode 4, Obsession.
Oh.
This is the episode where Cal is having sexual problems.
Oh no, Cal. Yeah.
And Mark has broken up with Sharon in favor of a river dancer.
I had as I said before, I found Sharon very relatable.
Oh, yeah.
And when she got broken up with for a river dancer, I was like, typical.
Yep.
Of course. Of course.
She's apparently, according to the Wikipedia description again, she's leggy.
Leggy.
Leggy river dancer.
You would be if you were a river dancer.
Oh, yeah. Like, so much leg work.
I when I was a child, I thought that river dancing was like the predominant form of dancing.
Because yeah,
it was
I
on
thought
TV
it was,
so much.
Well, yeah, I thought I was going to encounter it a lot more as an adult.
Well, people were like, oh, we're going out to the clubs to do dancing. My only reference was river dancing. Yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
And also, what's the one with the sticks that they do in the UK, traditional dancing?
Sure.
You know.
I don't know.
With the hankies.
I have more to say about this episode.
Okay,
well.
Sorry, keep going.
Fantastic. River dancer. Okay, Kath and Cal get, they get like a cosmetic procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember what that looks like?
Yeah.
So it's like Botox or fillers or something, but it involves a very great set of facial expressions from them both. Sharon tries...
Morris dancing.
Morris, yeah, okay.
That was my other reference.
That's the other one.
Because my mum was into it.
So Sharon tries to do river dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, and Cal and Kath are there.
Mm.
And then they invent horizontal Irish dancing, which is an adult maneuver
yes, okay.
on the dance floor that kind of looks like two fish placed on top of each other while they're still alive but out of water.
Very erotic.
It's highly erotic. Far more erotic than Sandy Freckle.
How dare yeah. you?
How dare All right.
Four.
Number four is season one, episode 8, The mm-hmm. Wedding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like an extremely memorable episode. Mm. I basically didn't even describe it. I just pulled out little things from it. Punch served in a rubbish bin that Kim did not clean.
Yes.
Little baby cheeses.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know how to elaborate on that, but little baby cheeses.
Yep, perfect. Wonderful.
And then the horse that goes bananas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this like impressionistic recap. I think it serves people well.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't seen it, you're intrigued. If you have seen it, you know exactly what Little Baby Jesus is all about.
Little Baby Jesus.
All right.
King.
I mean, that's four. Are we
that's
ready
four.
For three?
You're ready for
all
three.
Right, set.
Three.
So three is obviously it's one of my favorites because it's number three.
Yeah.
And that is season three, episode two, The Mango Espadrille. Which is great because it sounds like a spy novel.
It's very good.
If you don't know what an espadrille is.
I feel like even if you do know what an espadrille
it still
is.
It kind of like, sounds like it. It
sounds like Raymond Chandler could have gotten in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So The Mango Espadrille is the episode where Kath and Kim go to the Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
Which, if you've seen the episode, it goes very bad.
I mean, of course it goes very bad.
It's told in a flashback from... when they're in hospital, I believe. Am I right about that? Or is that the wedding episode? I can never remember.
I think it is told from a flashback from when they're in hospital.
Yeah. I think Sharon gets with a jockey who's played by the same actor as Kath. I think that's a memory I have. And they sneak into the celebrity
team.
Are
you going to talk about the shop women in one and two? Or can we talk about them
no,
now?
No, yeah, let's talk about Trude and Prue now. Because I couldn't nail down their first appearance because I didn't have enough time to fully rewatch everything.
Of course. I mean, no one's, you know.
Yeah.
I can't ask that of my guests.
I believe the shop that they work at is called Ooh La La.
And
vaguely remember that.
Yes. They were very important to me.
Yeah. They're a specific brand of woman who works at Living and Giving.
And I spent a lot of time around this kind of woman.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was very much like an Are You My Mother moment whenever they were on screen.
I've seen this woman before, but I don't know where.
Yeah.
Turn around.
It's just even down to their kind of like posh accents.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
True. True. Would you like a throw for your couch? That's a throw for your couch.
It's, yeah. And I think that's what's so so beautiful about Kath and Kim. It's lampooning those close to us.
Absolutely.
And us, in the case of Sharon. I feel like I've grown out of being a Sharon, maybe, a little bit.
I feel like I've grown to accept my Sharon.
Mm.
I have less injuries, I'd like to think, though.
Yeah.
I say as I have a giant blister on my foot.
Well, the ginger mushroom looks great on you.
The ginger mushroom does. I used to have a ginger mushroom, I'll have you know.
Oh.
As in a hairstyle, yeah, not just like just a mushroom made of ginger.
Are we ready for number two?
Yeah, we're ready for number two.
All right.
Two.
Okay, so number two is season one, episode one, titled Sex.
Hot.
So, my notes, if you've never seen Kath and Kim, this whole list is meaningless to
this
you, really.
This has probably been a baffling 20 minutes of reading. Well, yep,
but
if there was a break in the middle. It's 20
yeah,
minutes.
I mean, yeah, yeah, roughly. But if you have seen Kath and Kim, you'll know that this is one of the best episodes of any television show that's ever been created.
I mean, even the title is iconic.
It's
you know?
just called Sex.
I was about to say, how can you go wrong with sex? And then I had like a flashback of all of the times that...
it's gone wrong, yeah.
that can be my top 10 if I ever do one.
So within the first 3 minutes of the show, not including title sequence, the phrase "look at me" is used.
Perfect.
So yeah, like they nail right from the start, like from the very first time you see Kath and Kim, like what this show is and what it's going to be for like the next four seasons. It's incredible. So this is like, it's a pilot as well?
It's not just a first episode.
It's a pilot. Like, this was the test run?
It's really interesting because you feel like American style sitcoms, it can take a while for the characters to get fleshed out. Like, if you watch something like Parks and Rec, you can be like, I found myself many times in my life being like, get through the first, like, however many episodes, and then the characters start to actually be people, and it starts to be funny, and it starts to be good.
I've seen Parks and Recs from season 3 onwards, like, 3 times, but I've only ever watched, like, those first seasons, like, once just to get through them, because they were kind of painful.
Yeah, and it's like, but Kath and Kim, just, like, right from the start, everything is fully formed and
like,
perfect.
Everything that you think about, like, being quotable from Kath and Kim comes from that first episode, except for Trude and Prude, obviously.
Yes.
They're not in that first episode.
Sad. They probably just didn't have time.
Yeah, so it's the episode where, obviously, Kim and Brett break up, Kath and Cal get engaged. So Lukumui is used... No, not Lukumui, sorry. It's unusual, it's nice, is used in reference to Kath's wedding ring.
Yeah.
So that's the first time that gets used. I've got a couple of choice quotes.
Oh, hot. Throw them at me.
O-V-A-H, over.
Lovely.
And when Sharon says it's really nice that Kath and Cal have, like, this thing going on before they announce that they're engaged, Sharon says, it's really nice that they're de facto. And Kim says, de facto, night facto. The fact that they're factoing it all, I find repulsive in the extreme. Which is, like... so good. It's so good. I watched this like yesterday. It's so funny.
It's a thing that I have seen more times than I could say.
No, I literally.
And it's still, couldn't. Even just saying, is very
just
good.
Thinking about that episode is incredible.
Yeah. You know, factor. All
right. Yeah.
All right. Is that? Is that
yeah. Let's go for number one.
Or,
yeah.
Are we ready?
We're ready for number
one. All
right.
Do you want to do a little? Actually, wait. Before we do number one, let's do a quick, super extra speedy recap. 10.
My Boyfriend.
9.
Sandy Freckle.
8.
Kicking Up a Stink.
7.
Commonwealth Games.
6.
Netball.
5.
River Dancing.
4.
Punch Served in a Rubbish Bin the Wedding.
3.
The Mango Espadrille.
2.
2 was 6.
All right. I'm sorry, Dave.
1.
Okay, so my number one Kath and Kim episode. If you're a diehard fan of Kath and Kim, you'll already know what this is.
You'll already know.
It is season 1, episode 2, title, Gay.
It's so good.
I'll read my notes. Contains one of the finest moments of television history. Yeah.
Okay.
And the lead up to it is profound. There are all these tiny little, basically the plot of the episode is Kath thinks that Kim is gay.
Yes.
And my phone's just turned off, so now I'm going to have to ad-lib.
But I mean, so the centerpiece of the episode, right, is like the walking through the city montage.
Yeah, it's the montage, which we'll get to. I've got a detailed description of how that montage works.
Can I tell you something about...
Yeah, go for it.
So there are two things that I learned this year, one that I learned just today. Up until a different small top 10, I thought that Gina Riley was gay.
Why?
I don't know. I was sure that the show was gay. But then also, I didn't realize until today that it had a big gay fan base.
Yeah.
Until I was trying to access the theme song, and it was like, if you're a homo, then you probably love Kath and Kim. And I was like,
the gays love that. Like, I'm straight.
But I mean, like, I had, even though all of my gayest gay friends love Kath and Kim, I'd never put two and two together before.
Like, I largely watched Kath and Kim with my straight family.
Yes, no, but me too, and I think that threw me off.
Yeah, yeah, same. Well, it didn't throw me off, I still liked it.
It threw me off the scent of thinking it was a gay show, because I was watching it with
what really got me into it was the gays, TM.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, basically it leads up to this big montage moment. Kim's in the car with Kath, and Kim is talking about how she wants to cut her hair. And Kath's like, oh, you know, like short, like some nice layers. And Kim's just like, no, all the way, completely buzz cut. Kath has kind of like figured out later on in the episode that Kim is gay, and she's lamenting in a monologue about about how open-minded she is, which is really weird.
Yes.
And also there's a part where Kath is trying to open like a container.
Yes.
And Kim just comes along and just like rips the lid open. Mm. And Kath just goes, well, that's very butch. So yeah, should we talk about the montage?
Can we talk about the montage? I can't think about Kath and Kim without thinking about the word Lebanese.
What about Van Dyke Prince?
Van Dyke Prince is also very good.
So yeah, it starts with a close-up of a sign called that says Van Dyke Prince, then cuts to a man stepping out of an armoire backwards.
Okay, awesome. Have you got the whole montage?
I've got the whole
down.
Montage.
Okay.
Yeah, so then it's a close-up on a sign that says Veg Out.
Perfect.
Then Kath bumps into a bald man with a handlebar mustache wearing a leather jacket.
Good.
Close up on the word fruit. Close up on the word home. Then quickly followed by the close up on the letter O in the word oasis.
Okay, good.
Kath gasps. Close up on liquor. Close up on Lebanese.
This must... Now, this took a lot of effort.
Yeah, it really did. And that scene, for some reason, ends with Kath very confused in a bookstore. She later buys a whole bunch of books and speed reads them in a very great way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's perfect television. It's gay. It's Australian.
Yeah.
it's got everything going for it.
And it's also just like, I don't feel as though that description of it did it justice, but it's literally like the best
is this,
scene
is
I've
this
ever seen.
Is this the episode where at the end Kel reveals that he
was in the
bi?
Navy? Well, yeah. He basically, him and Kath are at lunch. And Kath basically tells Kel that she thinks that Kim's gay. And Kel's just like, yeah, well, I was in the Navy. We've all done it.
It's beautiful.
And Kath makes him take a bus home with the pensioners.
Oh, yeah. You homophobe.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll get back to that.
Oh, so in the, is there more to say about
Oh, there's
this?
More. I've got quotes.
Okay.
So the homophobe thing. Basically, there's a monologue where she says, call me old-fashioned, but what they're doing up there is illegal, isn't it? Well, I'm sure the bill is before Parliament. If it isn't, it bloody well should be. Mm. Which, like, thanks, Kath. Pretty sure that bill only got passed, like, last year.
Yeah,
and then there's also, what else did I have? What do you call them? When they're in the backyard smoking at the end of every episode.
Yes.
Kath is basically talking about how sexuality is fluid.
Yes.
Which is
beautiful.
Quite progressive for second very, episode of an Australian television
like
show.
Mid 2000s? Like, early 2000s?
Yeah, like, mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sharon and Kim go golfing.
Oh, of course.
And all of Sharon's friends are called Martina, Ellen, and KD. Which is...
It's glorious.
Good lesbian content.
I think we're going to have to cut it there. I'm sure you have more quotes.
No, we're good. We're good. I'm done.
So do you have anything to plug? You're a professional makeup.
I'm a professional makeup person.
Yes.
I don't really have anything to plug, though.
All right.
Come to Princess Moon Baby gigs. Because I'm in Princess Moon Baby.
Sick.
With Amelia, apparently.
Hello, I DJ.
Yeah.
All right, what song have you chosen to represent your top 10?
I have chosen The Joker, as sung by Gina Riley in the first 3 seasons of Kath and Kim.
Beautiful. This is a terrible rip of that song.
Yeah, really sorry. Oh.
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.